When it comes to procrastination, a lot of us think about it in the context of a conscious moment where we're saying, I don't feel like doing that now. I'll do it later. I'll do it next week. And you put it off. Today, I want to talk about the subconscious ways that we actually avoid things like prospecting. But more importantly, I'm going to tell you what you can do about it. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 25,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our prospecting download. We'll talk about it later, but if you'd like to check it out now, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/prospecting download. Now, our topic for today is going to be procrastination, and we're going to be talking about it in the context of prospecting. Now, many times when we think about procrastination, it's from a conscious point of view where we're consciously saying, you know, I don't feel like doing that right now, or I'll do it later. But so much of the procrastination that we're involved in happens more subconsciously. So before we dig into that, I want to share two very quick studies with you to kind of really cue up today's episode. The first one was put out. It was actually a study that was done by YouGov.org. And they found that the average person, you ready for this? Loses approximately 55 days a year to procrastination. Now, I'm hoping that hits home with you and you say, wow, that's a lot of time that's lost putting things off. Now, and again, like anything else, and any study that's out there, your mileage is going to vary. It could be more, it could be less. That could be way the hell off, either way, plus or minus. But the point is this. I mean, here it is. It's the end of February. And I think for a lot of us, year end is still something that is fresh on the brain. And I want you to think that when you are coming up on year end, and you were trying to qualify for President's Club or that bonus or going up higher in the rankings or whatever it is, a few extra bucks at the holidays. Imagine if you had 55 extra days, or maybe, hey, YouGov.org is completely full of shit and you were able to get another 20 or 30 days or whatever. That is a substantial amount of time. So that's the first thing that I want you to think about. How much time that we actually lose to procrastination. The second thing I want you to think about, and this is something I've been talking about for about 10 years. You've probably heard me mention it on the podcast. If you've been listening to me even for a year or two, you've probably heard me mention this study at least half a dozen times. But the study I like to point to is a study that was done by this gentleman by the name of Dr. Pierce Steele. It was a 10-year study, which again, you've heard me say the bad joke. To do a 10-year study, when you're on the topic of procrastination, you're really opening yourself up to a lot of ridicule and people saying, well, would you put it off for 9.5 years and it was only a 6-month study, whatever it is. You've heard me say the bad joke. But the point of it is, at the end of this study, Dr. Steele found that at the core of procrastination was this fear many times. A fear that we can't do it in the first place, whatever that task is. And in many times, it's just a dislike for the task at hand. So it's not always just fear. It's just, I don't want to do that. And especially when you think about prospecting. And I want to say something that is probably not cool. It's one of those things that we just don't say in sales because we are a tough crowd of people. We love to break balls. We love to kind of, you know what I mean? It's almost, it's in a way, we have this peer pressure that is almost reminiscent of middle school. Wait, yeah, you don't want to say that because that's not cool. But I am going to be the nerd right now. And I'm going to say something that nobody ever says, but I believe it's true across the board. I can't say that I love prospecting. I'm going to be dead serious. Listen, I love the results of prospecting. I love being able to help more people. I mean, that's kind of a nice, warm and fuzzy thing for me to say to you. Deep down, I also really like the freaking money. I like making more money. I know you do too. I'm a competitive son of a bitch. I love beating another salesperson's ass or beating one of my competitors or whatever. So I love all that. But do I love being rejected? Do I love the monotony of dialing and getting a voicemail or dialing and saying the same thing over and over and over again or emailing and basically writing the same thing over and over again? It can become very tedious. And a lot of times in sales, if you think about it, we're really not wired for that. We don't like doing the same thing over and over and over again. We kind of thrive in the ADD world where we're over here, we're over there, we're kind of everywhere. But the thing that I want you to think about is that when you have something that you might not be overly crazy about, or maybe you're scared of the rejection, which I'm here to tell you, there's nothing wrong in being scared. In fact, I really feel I need to just go off on a very quick, relevant tangent, if there is such a thing. I always tell the story about when my kids took martial arts, and this guy was talking about, I think he was an 8th degree black belt or a 9th degree black belt. Not only was he the sensei for my children's martial arts and everything, but the guy also competed in a lot of MMA tournaments down in Atlantic City. And if you've ever watched some of these things, some of these people get the shit beaten out of them. And I mean, they really do. I mean, they make one mistake and somebody's on top of them, pummeling them. So I had to ask the question. I said, I got to ask you, I mean, first of all, how long have you been involved in martial arts? Now, this guy at the time, the sensei, I'm guessing he was like 45 or 48. And he said, I've been at this my whole life, probably 40, 42 years. And I said, when you get in that ring, do you still get scared? And he said, you know, in a way, yes, I do. But it's more of a respect. I respect the fact that if I screw up, I can get hurt. I also respect the fact that I can end up by severely hurting someone else. So when I go into the ring, I have that respect for the situation. And, you know, so my takeaway from that is that, so here's a guy that has no shortage of ways to beat the shit out of me and you and his opponents, people who are professionally trained to fight. And he still has that fear in a way, right? But he doesn't let it, there's an old saying, you could use it as a counselor or a jailer. He doesn't let it jail him, but it is there. So if this person who is this much of a badass could still experience fear, I think we're allowed to experience it too. But again, how do we experience it in a way where it's a counselor and not a jailer? And what I would assume, which we're not supposed to do, I would assume that you miss a lot of opportunities because either deep down you're afraid of the task, or perhaps you just don't like the task. Now, here's where the kind of silent killer plays in and where I want to focus our discussion today. There is this subconscious avoidance that we have toward things that scare us or things that we just don't like doing. And what happens is then we cling to what I like to call avoidance activities. Now, what avoidance activities are, just as the name implies, they consist of things that we do, mostly subconsciously, because they're safer. We're not going to feel rejection. We're not going to feel that unpleasantness. So we gravitate toward the things that make us feel good. Isn't that life in general? we avoid the things that are, that's an old Tony Robbins thing, by the way, that pain and pleasure thing, that we avoid the pain and we're seeking the pleasure. That hurts us in sales. So when it comes to the phone and it comes to prospecting in general, many times I think the mass majority of the procrastination we're embracing is at the subconscious level, and it's through avoidance activities. So let me throw a few avoidance activities at you, and listen, you might hear me say them, and so that's not me. Oh, no, that couldn't be me or whatever. I'm going to invite you to tell your ego to leave and think that maybe this could be you. And I also want you to avoid the urge to make excuses as I go along. Well, you know, I'm just busy. He doesn't understand. I do understand. I've been in sales for 36 years. I'm a one-man act. I'm always busy. I'm always, like, figuring out how the hell do I do this and do the other 70,000 things that I'm required to do. So some avoidance activities for you to think about. Times when you find yourself just gravitating more toward administrative types of things. It could be things like updating your CRM. It could be things like your expense report. It could be even, believe it or not, things like working on a proposal. Yes, working on a proposal is important, but is it important right in that moment? Or is there another bucket of time throughout the day where it might be better? So administrative is one area where, in fact, that's a major area where a lot of us are doing this whole avoidance thing. The other thing is servicing accounts. Hey, I can't get on the phone because, you know, these accounts, they need me. And if I'm making outbound calls, I'm not taking care of my customers, and somebody else is going to take care of them, and I'm going to lose the account, or we're going to miss an opportunity. And yes, that's partially true. But it's not 100% true. That's another thing, if you're hopefully not driving and you could jot this down, I'll always make a mental note. Sometimes things, we write them off as the truth, when in fact they're a half-truth. This one is a half-truth as far as servicing accounts. Yes, you absolutely have to service your accounts. But does it have to be to the point where it's 24/7 and you're always in reaction mode instead of being proactive and being able to do other activities? So that's something I want you to think about too. The other thing, and this is a huge, huge avoidance activity, I guess we would call it perfectionism, where you're not on the phone and you're not hunting for new business because, you know what, that support staff of yours, you know, if you want it done right, you got to do it yourself. You got to babysit that damn deal. Again, we might have a half-truth there where, yes, there's going to take a little bit more hand-holding on your part, but is it to the point where it has to be 24/7? And by the way, if after telling your ego to leave the room, and the reason why we're telling the ego to leave the room is because your ego might say, yes, it's absolutely true. There is no way that you can prospect because you have to hold their hand 24/7. But is it really 24/7? If any of these things are no, there's just no way around it, I think then your thought process has to become, all right, is it time then that maybe I get a virtual assistant? Is it time maybe that I have a talk with my boss and see about some more support? And, you know, just exploring a variety of options down that road. And if the answer is absolutely not, then you might have to have the unpleasant thought process of, you know, is this the place where I'm going to do my best work, or do I really need to start thinking about other opportunities? I think that's a last resort, because I don't like things where I'm running from something and not dealing with it. Many times we get the change of scenery, but we're dealing with the same challenge somewhere else. So many times it's best that we find a way to find our ideal situation where it might not be perfect, but it's certainly better than what's going on right now. So that's another one. But again, speaking of ideal situation, sometimes idealism plays in. In other words, you know, I'm going to wait on the prospecting until I'm less busy. When is that going to happen, by the way? I mean, seriously, when are we less busy in sales unless it's a seasonal type of thing? So what are you going to do? You're going to wait until next year at the holiday season? You're going to wait till summertime? You're going to wait for that? I do a lot of work in some of the in-home sales with doors and windows and things like that too. Right now, they're in their off season, right? At least in this part of the country, in the Northeast, it's cold. A lot of people aren't thinking about redoing their windows. But about another month from now, when it starts warming up and people are outside doing some yard work and putting down the fertilizer and everything, and they look at how shitty their windows look, all right, they're starting to think about that. But, I mean, you have to look at this and say, you know what, maybe I'm trying to set up this ideal set of circumstances or whatever. And by the way, another side note for you, I see this a lot with training. A lot of you guys, when it comes to training, you're thinking, well, you know what? You know, Paul, I'd love to take your, like, this prospecting download. You know, I'd love to do that, but I'm just, you know, I'll do it when I'm less busy. And my response always is, hey, whatever you want to do, I just need to just get you thinking about something. When are you really less busy? I mean, do you wake up in the morning and say, today is a glorious day to train? No, you don't. There's always going to be a million other things that seem more pressing than you getting smarter at your craft. But it's the same thing with prospecting, especially if at the core of this whole thing, you find it unpleasant, you're afraid of the rejection, or whatever, just this general dislike for the task. So you think about that. Also, too, I talk to people and they say, well, you know, I want to wait till that moment. I really got to redo my whole phone pitch. I really want to redo my cadence or whatever it is. Okay, when is that going to happen? Seriously, when is the ideal? You're busy. Are you going to wake up and say, you know, today's a great day to redo everything? Again, it might be an avoidance type of mindset that you have. Now, I can go on and on and on about this, but I don't want this to be something where we're talking more in philosophies. I want to give you some things that you can do that can immediately get you back on track. So the very first thing that I want you to do, because it all starts with awareness, doesn't it? I mean, anything that we're doing in life and in sales, it begins with raising the awareness. Now, I told you at the beginning of the podcast, we're dealing with something here that happens subconsciously. So we've got to bring this to the surface. So your very first assignment, and again, if you're too busy, let's cut that shit out right now, because that could be what experts refer to as a bullshit excuse. And maybe you need to think about this in the car when you're driving somewhere, or perhaps when you're on a flight, or making the time to do what I'm about to suggest. Carve aside a little bit of thinking time and ask yourself the following question. What are my avoidance activities? What are the things that I do that might, let's just be real gentle about this, we don't have to go the tough love route. What are some things that might be avoidance activities for me? Now, I'm putting my cards on the table first here. Somebody's got to have balls here, and it might as well be me. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I have a lot of avoidance activities. And one of them is, and a lot of you who work from home might find yourself in this whole thing. There are many times, because I work from home, that it could be something as simple as I'm at my desk, I want to make outbound calls or whatever it is, and I have my coffee cup, man, and I'm done with it. I don't want to be a slob. I don't want the wrath of Mrs. Uncle Paul raining down on me, publicly humiliating me like I'm like some kind of idiot. I can't have that. I'm a manly man, for God's sake. At least she thinks, or at least I pretend to be around her. So what do? I bring the cup downstairs. And, you know, I go downstairs and I can't leave it in the sink because that's worse. Because I'm going to hear it. So I put it in the dishwasher. But guess what? I look and I notice that a few other people weren't respecting the wrath of my wife. my kids, and they left shit in the sink. I can't have that. I don't want to hear it when she gets home. So what do? I do some cleaning up. And there I am during the workday cleaning up and doing home-related things. But, you know, I'm exaggerating there and I'm having some fun with it. But if you work from home, you know what I'm talking about. You get into some distraction, like you notice, oh, man, the dog's water dish. Man, she needs some water, man. I can't have this dog die of thirst. What the hell, man? So you find yourself doing that. But the other thing, too, that I find myself doing, and this one plays in a lot, because in a way it's a half-truth that we talked about before. I'll tell you another avoidance activity. Sometimes when I find myself spending a little bit too much time on social media. Now, the half-truth there is that, yeah, but that drives business for me. I've had a presence on social media since 2008. I mean, not sitting here bragging because there's people with a hell of a lot more followers than me, but Twitter alone, I have 115,000 followers. I put things out there, and I could just about always trace it back to a lead being generated or a sale or whatever. I could see blog traffic coming from that. So on the surface, it's helping. But is it the ideal activity for that moment? And does it have to be for as lengthy amount of time? Or initially, did it make sense, but now it's just becoming an avoidance activity? So step number one, I want you to think about, you know, ask yourself this question: what are my avoidance activities? And again, like anything else we do, please ask your ego to leave the room so you're not there making excuses. And when you do make an excuse, you need to ask yourself, well, wait a minute, is this kind of a half-truth where there's this other side of the coin that we're not looking at? So I want you to think about that. But I also want you to think about when you find yourself embracing an avoidance activity, what's going to be the pattern interrupt? A pattern interrupt is something that we do that's off script to get someone's attention. Now, you've heard me talk about this when it comes to prospecting. A pattern interrupt in prospecting is we call up someone and we do something that's outside their playbook and they're not expecting it. For example, when we talk about objections, a lot of people love to tell us not interested. Now, you know what the typical response to not interested is, by the way? It's the sales rep saying, oh, okay, thank you for your time. They tap out. And the person at the other end of the phone banks on you doing that. So instead of tapping out, how about a pattern interrupt? And a pattern interrupt could be somebody says not interested and you come back with, yeah, I absolutely figured you weren't interested because if you were interested, you'd be calling me. Again, I'm not sitting here trying to win the funniest sales trainer award or the funniest podcaster award. I'm just offering something that is off the script, but pattern interrupts can also be things that we deploy to get ourselves, you know, call attention to something and stop in our tracks, break a pattern that is not serving us and get us back on the right path. So I want you to think about, number one, what are your avoidance activities? Number two, how are you going to interrupt that pattern? Now, I'll share some ideas as we go along because some of these other suggestions I have for you could absolutely serve you as a pattern interrupt approach. So number two, and this one could work brilliantly as far as a pattern interrupt. Several times throughout the day, right? Every time you're doing a task, ask yourself a question. I call it the $1 million question because I believe over the course of your career, this is worth $1 million to you. And seriously, I know that in the amount of times that I've been selling, I'm daring, you know, when you add up all the commissions and everything else, that I am on track for this being a $1 million question too. So the $1 million question is this: whenever you find yourself doing a task, I don't care if it's administrative, I don't care what it is, anything that you're doing throughout the business day, ask yourself a question. Is what I'm doing right now going to help me get in front of new opportunities? Now, there's other ways you could ask this question too. I usually ask the question like this, and I center it around what I refer to as the three drivers of sales success. And in that context, I usually teach it like this. Is what I'm doing right now either going to get me in front of a new account, retain and wow an existing account, or help me grow an existing account? If the answer is no, that is my pattern interrupt. Questions are brilliant pattern interrupts because questions, whether you're asking it of someone else or yourself, helps you regain control. Because if you think about it, the person who's asking the questions in a conversation, in a dialogue, is usually controlling that conversation. And when I say controlling, I don't mean it in a shitty, sleazy way. Certainly in this context, it's really in a good way. It's getting you focused and getting you off of this whole reflex action and this whole habit and the way, those types of behaviors, and getting you back on track. So the million-dollar question in this context with prospecting is simply, is what I'm doing right now going to help me get in front of other opportunities? Now, don't forget, we have half-truths that we have to be aware of. So if you find yourself saying, well, yeah, this is important. I mean, I've got to service this account, or I've got to babysit, you know, these people that are just not having the urgency for the account. We're going to lose the account or whatever. In that case, I then have a part two to the question. Okay, it's important, but does it have to be done right now? Does it have to be done right now? And maybe I'll procrastinate on that item instead of something else where I could be proactive. That's going to help. So I might say to myself, well, yeah, it's important, but is it important right now? Is it important right now at 10 a.m.? Or could this be a 3 p.m. or a 4 p.m. type of thing? Last but not least on this subject, we love to say all these little things in sales, right? There are things we've heard a million times. One of them is sales isn't a 9-to-5 job. Unfortunately, most of the time when we're saying that, it's when we have to leave early, maybe to go watch the kids' ball game, or we have something going on in life, or we need to cut out a few hours earlier for whatever reason. Sales isn't a 9-to-5 job. Please understand that there's the other side of that too. And it's not always going to be so that you can leave early. Sometimes sales isn't a 9-to-5 job because we've just got to get this shit done. Seriously, you saying that I'm busy and therefore I will never prospect, even though you're not saying that, you're kind of saying that by putting it off, and never getting to it, is unacceptable. So you're going to have to find a way to do that. And unfortunately, I don't think this is the ideal way for you, and that's why I'm offering other things. But sometimes it's not going to be a 9-to-5 job, and maybe the best time for you to work on that proposal or work on that other thing might be getting up a little bit earlier. It might be working a little bit later. And before you give me an eye roll, please remember, if you've been listening to me for a while, I'm the guy that's always saying, let's not go and get into that whole hustle porn shit where it's, yeah, I'm working right now on the weekend. What are you doing? While you're resting, I'm taking your business. I got up, I was in the office at 4:30 a.m. I don't like that stuff because to me, you got to have a life. Seriously. But I'm saying that sometimes the answer is this sucks. And instead of me not doing it, I might just have to do an extra hour here or get up a little bit early or whatever the heck it is, or get maybe put in a little bit of Saturday morning time or whatever. So that's something that I want you to think about. I also think that the other thing that you can do is, in fact, you know, let's move on to the next thing because I kind of beat that one up a little bit. Let me move on to the next thing and I'll kind of cover it in this next item. You know, the other thing is, and this is going to sound real basic until you hear how I approach this, getting it on your calendar like any other appointment is a big part of the battle. A lot of the time with prospecting, I don't know that we even do this consciously. I think it's more of a subconscious thing. We figure, okay, when I do all the other shit, then I'll prospect. But there's never time. Because there's always going to be something. And again, here I go again. Especially if you're not crazy about the activity to begin with, or you're maybe a little bit of fear is playing in there. There's never going to be a shortage of avoidance activities for you. So I say get it on the calendar and then respect that as an appointment the way you would any other appointment. What I mean by that is if you set an appointment to do a demo or a discovery call or to meet with your client, you're not going to just blow it off for the hell of it because any old thing just came up. But yet we do that with prospecting all the time. Everybody else gets the respect. I have an appointment with you to talk about casting training systems. I'm not going to break that appointment. I have an appointment with you because you need to talk about something, where you need some help on something. I'm not going to break that appointment because that would be disrespectful. But why is it that that everybody else gets the respect except you? When you have something that you need to be doing to get to the next level, to help your family at a much higher level, to start embracing some of the dreams and the goals that you set for 2020, then suddenly it's okay that we blow that off. So my rule of thumb is when I set an appointment with myself to prospect, the world headquarters of Castain Training Systems needs to be on fire before I'm going to go and postpone that time. Because again, I understand that if I'm postponing it, it's because I really don't want to do it deep down. So I need to start changing my thinking and I need to respect that appointment. But here's a really cool thing you can do, and it's called calendar kicks. Calendar kicks. When you set an appointment for yourself, let's just say that you, and again, we're going to take baby steps here. And let's just say that we're going to start small to get you back on track. And we agree that you're going to set an appointment for yourself for this Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. to prospect. Now, what I want you to do, if that alarm goes off, that little alert goes off at 10, I want you to have another one that kicks in at like 10 after 10, where it kicks you in the ass. That's why we're calling it a calendar kick, because this is designed to kick you in the ass. 10 minutes later, you can label your alarms, by the way. I'm sure you know that, but you can label your alarms. So why don't you label one with a question? Are you on the phone? Or it could be, are you prospecting? You ready for this? Or is somebody else taking your money? Appeal to that competitive spirit that all of us have in sales. This is the way you're wired, my friend. My friend, I feel like Larry David, my friend. You are wired, and I'm wired. We're competitive. That's part of the DNA of a sales, or an aspiring sales rock star, at least, right? We're competitive folk. And I never say folk, but you want to have that to kick in there. And I actually heard this from a rookie sales rep. I'm guessing, man, it was probably 13 years ago. This person wasn't even in sales 15 minutes. And he was sharing how we had this whole discussion. How do you make sure that you get your prospecting in the bank every single day, consistently, several times a week, whatever it is that you're doing? And heard a lot of great ideas that day. But this one really stuck with me because, and I started it back then, about 13 years ago, doing it on my own. And I can't tell you how many times this little insurance policy kicked in. 10 minutes later, this little alert goes off. And I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was dicking around with some other avoidance activity. Then the question comes up, are you prospecting, Castain, or is somebody else taking your money? And my response usually, that inner competitor, that fighter that we all always, you know, that we have deep down, I summon that spirit and it's like, F this, nobody's taking my money. Screw that, you're sitting in my seat, bitch, up. Uncle Paul's sitting there. It has to be that way to get you going. So try that idea with not only getting it on the calendar, not only respecting the appointment, but with the insurance policy of a calendar kick. And that brings us to the next thing. And actually, you know what? I want to add another thing to that. The other thing that you can do is you can have that type of reinforcement. But when that thing goes off, you could even have a calendar kick that says, instead of maybe being that direct, maybe you're not, you don't really respond well to that. I respond very well to tough love. In case this doesn't shock you, I'm a tough love type of guy. That's how I'm wired. You might not be. So one of the things I tell my coaching clients is, if that's a little bit too rough for you, if you're not going to respond well to that type of tough love, maybe something like this. Are you making your calls, or are you going further and further away from that vacation you want to be able to have money for in August? Or, you know, you making those calls, or, you know, are you willing to struggle 6 months from now paying the kids' college tuition or whatever? Find the thing that drives you, and I think that could be a very, very good positive way to interrupt the pattern and get you back on track. The last thing is something that I've talked about quite a bit, and it'll really help you with your prospecting. And what you might want to do is, you know, think about this one bite at a time. Many times we procrastinate, and it falls into that half-truth mindset when we say, you know, I don't have the time. And I'm not saying it's always an excuse. I don't want you to think about that. In fact, what I want to talk about are the times when it absolutely isn't an excuse. You're just swamped. You're crazy busy. What do you do? Well, you might be thinking about it the wrong way. And what I mean is, you're thinking about almost like that idealism thing we talked about, where, you know what, I don't have the time to put in a full day of prospecting like I hoped, so I won't do it. There is no reason why the whole act of prospecting now should be held hostage because you're busy. So now what you can do is you can go down a different route, and you could start thinking about, well, what is a way? Maybe as a plan B, or maybe this is how you're going to attack it. How can I take this whole prospecting thing one bite at a time instead of 6 hours a day, 2 days a week, or whatever it is? You almost want to attack it the way that your time is taken from you. Your time is usually taken from you a bite at a time. It's 5 minutes, it's 10 minutes, it's 25 minutes. Those things, when you add them up at the end of the week, are substantial. Multiply it by a month, a quarter, by a year, and you are losing, in some cases, 45 days a year to that kind of thing. So what I would recommend that you do, take it a bite at a time. Let's use that whole Pomodoro tactic that I love to talk about. What you do with the Pomodoro tactic or technique or approach, whatever you want to call it, is you simply set the timer on your phone for 25 minutes. Now, you don't have to just do 25 minutes. You can have your own Pomodoro. Maybe for you, that Pomodoro is going to be 60 minutes or whatever. But I like to follow it kind of by the rules because I found it works for me. So what you could do instead is, instead of thinking of it that, okay, you know, I can't do 8 hours today, so F this, man, I just got to do the other stuff, and then you never prospect. Why don't you think in terms of, you know what? How can I find 25 minutes today to do some prospecting? And go at it that way. And then when you get the 125-minute Pomodoro in, think about how you can get another one in. When you do that, it really adds up. Now, one cool thing about this 20, and you could even schedule proactively your prospecting blocks in 25-minute consecutive Pomodoros. So you could have 25 minutes of prospecting, 5 minutes off to respond to emails and such, and then another 25 minutes. Or, you know, you could do 25 minutes right after the first 25 minutes on another activity, administrative things, working on that proposal or whatever. But find what works for you. But here's where a really cool pattern interrupt can work in your favor, utilizing the Pomodoro technique. If we're thinking in 25-minute increments, and automatically you have your default avoidance activity or excuse, right, or half-truth, well, you know, I'm busy, I'm too busy to prospect. How about then at that point you interrupt your pattern and say, really, dude, you're too busy for 25 minutes? You can't find 25 minutes in this day to get out there and just, you know, stake your claim? So that's something right there that you can think about. Another thing that you can think about that's a different way of taking a bite at a time of this prospecting elephant. There's something I came across years ago. Somebody talked about this concept of a 10 before 10 mindset. And you could do this every day. You could do it 3 days a week. Again, modify it to what works for you. So let's take it on a daily basis. What if every single day before 10 a.m., you make 10 phone calls. Now, that's kind of taking a bite out of the prospecting elephant right there. So what you can do is if you do 10 calls before 10 every single day, you do it 5 days a week, guess what? Adds up. 2,500 more calls at the end of 1 year. If you only do this 3 days a week because you got other things that are going on, you're too busy. I get it. Could be a half truth. What we could do there, if you do it 3 days a week, guess what? That's 1,500 more calls, and you did it a bite at a time. You're going to feel it sometimes when it's 8 hours, and you may not have that luxury. But how about if we did a few Pomodoros here and there? Or how about if we did the 10 before 10? What if you modify 10 before 10, and you do a 9 before 9 or some nonsense like that? So I want you to think about that because it really, really adds up. How about my 2-2-2 formula that I love to talk about? What if really that's what it's going to have to be for you? The 2-2-2 formula. 2-2-2 formula is every morning when you get up, wake up a little bit, right? I mean, you know, get some caffeine into your system. Hook up an IV and jumpstart yourself. Get yourself going. But while you're having that morning coffee and you're waking up or whatever, what if you were to send out 2 emails to 2 people that you want to get in front of? How long would that take you if you did that every single day? I mean, if you're doing it smart, you'd have some templates that you're using. I mean, sorry for the pitch, folks. If you've taken any of my courses, especially this prospecting download that I'm going to talk about at the end here, I have 50 templates that I'm going to be sharing in there. So they're done for you. All you have to do is modify them. But if you're doing it every day, you're getting very quick at it. Those muscles are a lot stronger. That activity will take you less than 5 minutes to do. So if you do 2 emails before the business day even starts, then the second 2 in the 2-2-2 formula is send out 2 pieces of snail mail to 2 people that you're not doing business with. My rule of thumb with snail mail is always this. There really needs to be some kind of a handwritten component in there to make it more personal and to allow you to stand out. If you're just randomly popping some piece of collateral into the mail, I mean, seriously, it's almost ineffective. What I would suggest that you do is, whether it be slapping a post-it note, or if I designed all my collateral as almost greeting cards where there's kind of a promotional part of it, but then there's room for me to write a little handwritten note on there as well. But if you do that now, okay, that's going to take a little bit longer than the emails where you have templates because you're actually writing things out. Okay, so let's say that one, what do you think? 15 minutes? Seriously, to write 2 notes, 2 post-it notes or 2 cards or whatever to 2 people you're not doing business with. But check this out. Before the business day even started, before that opening bell, you now have 4 attempts that you didn't have before. And then the final part of the 2-2-2 formula is that at a little later in the day, or you could even do it during your morning commute to try to get some of those decision makers that are in the office early, call 2 of them. Try to get in touch with 2 people that you have not gotten in front of yet that you want to get in front of. Now, if you add those 3 sets of 2 up, right, unless my multiplication skills are off, and they might be because I was an idiot in math. Seriously, that's 6 a day. That's 30 a week. That's 1,500 a year. And congratulations, you ate the damn elephant a bite at a time. Now, I'm not saying that this is the substitute for prospecting. This, to me, is what you do to keep those muscles nice and firm, like going to the gym. And this is what you do to keep yourself out there, to keep up on your appearances. Obviously, you're going to have to schedule more time, but this will keep you from avoiding the task. I would also maintain that when you're doing something regularly and you're building the muscles, you're going to be more proficient at it. And when you're more proficient at something, I think that it's not as easy to avoid it because now you know that you're halfway decent at doing it. It's not like you suck at it and everybody's hanging up in your ear and telling you to piss off. You know, now you're getting some results and you're going to get kind of addicted to that good feeling of knowing, A, I'm not allowing half-truths and excuses and avoidance activities from keeping me from having a better life and serving more people, right? That, I mean, I, in fact, I'll just leave it at that. I was going to give you a whole host of reasons, but I think that's reason enough right there. You're definitely going to just love that feeling of doing that. I think, you know, last but not least, I think when it comes to avoidance activities and just not wanting to pick up the phone and because you're doing other things or whatever, you know, one of the things I do, and I was kind of hesitant in bringing this up. I've brought it up before. I kind of feel like a broken record. I feel like this might be warm and fuzzy for you. But, you know, one of the things that I've done and kind of patting myself on the back, I update it every few months. I really believe in having a collage. Get one of those collage picture frames. Putting pictures of the things that you're working for. And, you know, I have all kinds of pictures in mind. And I have a picture that I'm looking at right now in there of my wife and I, the first day of a cruise to Bermuda. And there we are, and just there's no faking the amount of joy that we were experiencing. And also there's no faking the fact that we weren't pale because we were getting some color and we weren't kind of, you know, like kind of like a vampire stuck in the house all the time. There, right there, I'm looking at the picture and we're on the deck of this cruise ship and there's the sun going down in the Caribbean. And I look at that and I have to be honest with you. I know this may sound greedy, but I want more of that shit. I want more of those moments. I'm looking at another picture of mine where, you know, we went for this really nice family dinner because it's not always going away, right? Really nice family dinner in Little Italy. And there's my entire family there, smiles, you know, holding up our wine glasses and doing a toast. I want more of that. And I know when I pick up the phone, I get more of that stuff. But I also have other things that kind of kick me in the ass. For years, I've had a picture, but this picture, I have a different modified version. For years, I had a picture of a dorm room to remind me. I got to pay that shit for my son. My one son went away to college. And if you have any kids that are in college, you know it's not cheap and it's not free. And I got to be able to pay that bill. I don't want to call him. I didn't want to call him up and say, I'm sorry, you got to go locally after he's president of his fraternity up there and, you know, just having the time of his life. I didn't want to pull the plug on that because I didn't want to pick up a phone. And I have other things in there that I want in my life, things that I'm working for. I mean, I have a picture of a property that I want to buy. And, you know, I can go on and on about the things that I'm working for, but I think they're meaningless to you. You have to have the things that you're working for. And I'm very proactive about those pictures in that at the start of my day, I make sure I look at them. And I say to myself, here's what I'm working for. And by the way, just in case you're saying, man, Castain is a real shallow son of a bitch. I don't hear anything for the good of mankind in there. You'll be happy to know if you were thinking that and you're getting shitty and judging me, you'd be happy to know that also in there, I have pictures of the charities that I support because I want to continue to support those. You know, one of them happens to be very personal to me. I lost family members to cancer. My wife had breast cancer a few years back. So I want to be able to keep supporting that charity and other ones as well. So it doesn't all have to be things that you might think, well, I'm being greedy or whatever. I do think you're allowed to be a tad selfish. But I look at these every single day. I look at them as a pattern interrupt when I'm looking to procrastinate. And even when it's something that might be a subconscious avoidance activity, as I'm justifying what I'm doing, if it's not picking up a phone or prospecting, I'm looking at that picture and I'm saying, or those pictures, and I'm saying to myself, if I behave this way, am I going to be able to continue doing these things I want? Am I going to be able to have the life I want someday when I retire? Am I going to be able to do this traveling? Am I going to be able to get these things that I want? Be able to take these camping trips? My wife and I, we want to go to Italy and stay there for 3 or 4 weeks. You know, in order to do that, it has to be financed. And I can't go into the Castain Family Trust Fund because there ain't any. I got to earn this shit like you guys do. So you really need to find the thing that drives you and have it there and acknowledge that you're human and you may not want to do these things. And I get it. You're allowed to think that way in sales. Don't let anybody else make you feel ashamed of yourself for being human and having these thoughts. But it cannot, we said before, it's got to be a counselor and not a jailer. I'm using these pictures as a counselor to get me back on track, serve as a pattern interrupt instead of a jailer. Well, I'm never going to get those things, right? I have them there to kick me in the ass. Maybe you need the same thing. So there you have it, folks. A few things that you can do. We've also talked about really how this starts with awareness. I want you to do that exercise where you think about, well, what are my avoidance activities? What do they look like? How do I avoid going on the phone? What are the things that I find myself doing that I guess really what it comes down to it, I really don't want to get on the phone, or I'm scared of getting on the phone or sending those emails or whatever. And think about, what's the pattern interrupt going to be? I gave you a few. Having those pictures could be one. Having the calendar kicks. Hey, are you making the calls, or is somebody taking your money? That kind of thing. So I want you to think about all these different things here. And remember, they were all useless until you decide to do something with it. So I really want you to take action. Last but not least, you know, part of the reason, and yes, this is segueing into a sales pitch and an infomercial, but I really want you to think about this. Part of the reason why we avoid things, and it centers around that fear, is that we might not think that we're really good enough to do it, or we feel that we're lacking, or every time I pick up the phone, I get the shit beaten out of me, or my emails, I keep getting all these things, you know, remove, you know, stop emailing me or whatever. It might be time, and there's nothing wrong with this. All of us need to be humble students of sales. I would invite you to check out the prospecting download that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. What we're doing in this prospecting download is we're doing something very, very different. A lot of prospecting is centered the phone, the phone, the phone. The phone is really important. In fact, two of the modules I have in this download are centered around the phone. But part of the reason why you might be avoiding the phone is because, you know, that's the only trick in the bag of tricks. So what we talk about in this prospecting download is how we can use things like the phone, but also LinkedIn, cold emails, and to make it easier for you, I'm also going to be providing you with about 50 templates ranging from phone scripts to cold call emailing scripts to LinkedIn scripts that you can use and LinkedIn templates. So it's basically done for you. And all you have to do is just modify it to your style and your personality and your target audience. If you'd like to learn more, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/prospecting download. And we're treating that like all one word, lowercase letters. yoursalesplaybook.com/prospecting download. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Come visit our blog at yoursalesplaybook.com/blog.